What happens in the modern city? A standard answer might include people move themselves to work and goods are moved to market. Let's add growing food to that list. Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud. My name is Trevor Harris, and on this week's program, we look at a local nonprofit that's working hard to grow food for the city in the heart of the city. This week, we talk to staff and clients of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture about their work in growing crops. We also look ahead to this Saturday's Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture Harvest Hootenanny. That's this week on Thinking Out Loud. My first guest this evening is Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture General Manager Billy Polanski. On a recent visit to the KBIA studios, Polanski talked about the origin story behind his organization.
CCUA started in 2008. It was originally a part of Sustain Mizzou, a student club here at MU. And in 2009, it became its own nonprofit. But it started through composting with bike trailers. We got a small plot of land on the corner of St. Joseph and Ash, put in a garden, the demonstration garden, and we taught a service learning class here at MU. In 2010, we got access to the land that's now our urban farm, and that's 1.3 acres off of College Avenue, and that's since then has been the hub of our activities, on-farm education and going out to people's homes and to schools and to other places and teaching people about gardening and how to grow good food.
One of those people growing good food is Trish Woolbright. She's the coordinator for the CCUA's Opportunity Garden Program. On a recent afternoon, I met Woolbright and R.V. Price on Allen Walkway in the Columbia Housing Authority's Blind Boone Apartments. There, in the heart of Columbia's Douglas neighborhood, Woolbright and Pierce were weeding a planting of cherry tomatoes, sweet potatoes, and mustard greens. I asked Woolbright, a social worker by training, what her program does and who it serves.
Opportunity Gardens gives low-income families the opportunity to grow food at their home. Within 3 years, they can graduate and grow food by themselves without our help. So currently I have 97 participants. I've had about 115 participants overall, and we have over 200 kids involved in the program from all those families all over Columbia.
One person who works closely with the CCUA Opportunity Garden Program is R.V. Pride. When I met him, Pride was busy hoeing weeds. Very familiar with the soil in his 1,000-square-foot garden bed in the Columbia Housing Authority's Blind Boone Apartments, Pride also seemed well acquainted with everyone who walked by.
Now, this year, I planted tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, collard greens, mustard greens, turnip greens, kale, cabbage, sweet potatoes, okra, white potatoes, red potatoes, and got a nice crop, and everything that come out of my garden, I donated to the food bank. You know, cucumbers, squash, everything. You know, I raise it all. You know, I got this, not just this garden, but I got another one located somewhere else. And I even assist other people with their gardens so that, you know, they can grow what they need. You know, and we kind of encourage everybody, you know, to grow something healthy. You know what I'm saying? You can't get no more healthier than growing it yourself. You know, how fresh can you get it when you pick it off the vine yourself? You know?
That was R.V. Pride, a client of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture's Opportunity Gardens program. Gardening ties people together. Pride's bed is surrounded by apartments of Columbia Housing Authority residents. These residents are free to work in the garden. Those that do get their hands dirty digging in the soil. Even those residents who don't garden benefit from seeing fresh fruit growing from the earth right outside their apartment doors. When I met R.V. Pride, he and Trish Woolbright were working in the bed that has 8 different plots. I asked Pride why he labors in a garden, much of whose produce he'll ultimately give away.
We provide fresh vegetables to the residents here, whether they garden or not, every Wednesday at our food bank. So yes, you know, we trying to get everybody to eat healthy. You know, this is not just for one individual. This is for the whole community. You know, I mean, that's what it's about, teaching people. You know, but I want to see everybody eat good. You know, healthy. You know, I mean, this is my community. This is where I live. You know what I'm saying? I want to see these people around a long time.
The Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture works with income-eligible clients to promote gardening at home. Through the Opportunity Garden program, families who may not have the money to buy fresh fruit and vegetables can grow tomatoes, cucumbers, and peppers right outside their back door. After our recorded interview, Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture Opportunity Garden program manager Trish Woolbright walked me around several apartment buildings, pointing out container gardens and beds that she had helped establish in partnership with the Columbia Housing Authority residents. The Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture serves as kind of an extension center for urban growers. Not sure what to grow, when, or where? CCUA has an edible landscaper in the person of Liberty Hunter. She'll come to your home or business and consult on what mix of fruit and vegetables would work best in your existing landscape.
I am the edible landscaping manager at the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture, and I can be hired to come to your house, your business, your housing development, whatever it may be, and consult with you about how to incorporate edible plants into your backyard, front yard, or place of business.
And when people call you and they say, I want you to come and do this, what are they looking for? Can you generalize, or is it all across the board?
It's kind of all across the board in terms of edible plants. Anything from raised bed vegetable gardens, perennial herb gardens, just needing to come and till up some ground for them to plant themselves, and also installing fruit trees and berries.
What kind of fruit trees do your customers favor, and what kind of fruit trees tend to do well here?
Great question. So people tend to favor peaches and plums and apples. What we can grow in Missouri would be apples, pears, peaches, tart cherries, plums, and the native fruits would be pawpaws, American persimmons, and mulberries. We can also grow figs as trees or shrubs.
I have a persimmon tree in my yard, two persimmon trees, and one fruits and one doesn't.
Mm.
Does that mean one's a male and one's a female?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The female's fruiting and the male isn't?
Right, right. Those wild American persimmons, if one you have is not fruiting, it's usually because you're missing the other.
Should I desire to plant a fruit tree in my yard or on my property, is one enough, or do I need two?
Sure, and that depends on what type of tree you want to plant. Your self-pollinating trees are going to be your peaches, tart cherries, plums, and figs. And then ones that need cross-pollination would be apples and pears. And that's a generalization. Sometimes there's certain varieties that will need a pollinator.
Besides the persimmons in my yard, I also have some pears, some Asian two-in-one pears that I guess were two different varieties that were one was grafted onto another. Last year, second year the trees were in the ground, I have five of them. Heavy fruiting. Actually read online to prune half of the fruit away, which broke my heart because I want all that fruit. But I pruned half of it away and got off of five trees probably close to 60 fruits. It was amazing. This year, across five trees, one tree produced about 15 fruits, and that was it.
Yeah.
Why does that happen?
So what you'll see year to year, sometimes you'll have very heavy bearing years, and that takes a lot out of the tree. And so the next year will be kind of low on the bearing side. And that happens with apples, too, a lot.
If someone's interested in planting fruit trees in their yard this fall, what kind of preparation does one need to do before going out and buying those trees and putting them in the ground?
Yes. So you need to figure out what type of fruit that you want to plant, what you're going to use, and what you're going to use it for. Do you want a nice, perfect dessert-eating apple? Do you want something that you're going to transform into some sort of value-added product? Then you need to decide whether you want a dwarf or a semi-dwarf. A dwarf tree is going to be less vigorous by design to meet a smaller space requirement. A semi-dwarf is going to be more vigorous, and it won't need to be babied as much. Your dwarf tree will need regular irrigation, a weed-free growing area, and probably staking so it doesn't fall over. From there, you'll need to pick your growing site, which you'll need full sun and adequate drainage, and then dig your hole.
You said adequate drainage.
Yes.
We have notoriously clay soils here in central Missouri. If I'm working with a postage stamp yard or 5 acres and the soil tends to be that way, what can I do before I put that tree in the ground to give it the best chance of success?
Mm-hmm. If you're working on a bigger scale, I would recommend cover cropping your site that you're going to plant your trees in with anything from hairy vetch to rye, oats, peas. Really prepare that soil, increase the organic matter. If you're working in a small site, like a backyard or front yard, you're going to want to prep the site as early as possible, dig your hole, maybe add some soil amendments, a little bit of compost, maybe a little sand, depending on how heavy clay you have. Then adding some rock phosphate and azomite for root development and trace minerals at the planting time. You can also plant your tree on a berm, sort of a raised section of earth, and that will help with drainage too.
The actions that you're describing right now are things that I would do now in the interest of planting a tree in October of 2015. Or are now, you saying I could do it now and plant the tree now?
Right. It's never too late. You still have until November to prep that site. If you're just going to plant a handful of trees, it's going to be okay to dig a hole now and prep, even to dig a hole in November and just plant it. It's going to be fine. But the more preparation you make for that fruit tree, the healthier, the better that fruit tree is going to produce.
This is Thinking Out Loud on KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. This week, we're digging into the programs offered by the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture. You just heard from Liberty Hunter. She's an edible landscaper. We heard her discussing what kind of gardening advice she dispenses to those who hire her. Let's meet up again with Trish Woolbright and RV Pride. On a recent warm, early autumn afternoon, they were cultivating a bed surrounded by Columbia Housing Authority apartments off Park Avenue and Allen Walkway. Over the years, this central planting bed has had many things growing in it, said Woolbright. It's currently maintained as an opportunity garden of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture.
Right now, we're on Allen Walkway, kind of between Park and Switzer, I think. And RV is over there cultivating and weeding within a...
Don't take out the collars, though.
A brick tin.
Okay.
Where he's weeding right now is about 1,000 square feet. What was it built to be?
It's been a lot of things over the years. RV has told me about some of the things too, but it was a payphone center. There have been perennial plants, planter. It's got some benches around it, the mailboxes, and a poster thing for announcing events is here. So it's kind of like just a center area that got a little neglected, and the housing gave it to us to grow food in, and so that's what we've been doing this last 2 years.
What have you had the best success with?
Our best crop? I would say that these sweet potatoes might take over Columbia pretty soon. They're pretty amazing. They're going everywhere. The tomatoes last year were great. Great peppers from out here. The okra is doing really well. It gets full sun, and the watering issue is a little more difficult out here, so the peppers do better than most everything. Right now it's got a lot of mustard greens because we're cover cropping with mustard for fall, and people just really like mustard. Plus, it's a good cover crop, prevents weeds, and it's a bio manure kind of green manure kind of thing. So,
what do you have in the truck today? What are you doing? What am I keeping you from doing right now?
Oh no, it's fine. I'm staying in the shade. It's great. This is a trailer of city compost we're going to put down over this to compost some of the areas that are bare. And I've got cacao mulch from Patrick Chocolate. Thank you, Patrick Chocolate, for giving us their cacao hulls. And we're going to put that in the pathways today. It's going to smell really good and prevent some weeds in the pathways. And I've got some seeds in the truck that are like more mustard, some tillage radish maybe, to keep some of these areas a little more weed-free, and we'll till that in later. We'll harvest our sweet potatoes around frost time for Thanksgiving with a lot of people. I've been telling some mamas in the neighborhood about the sweet potatoes. They're very excited.
This is my first year growing sweet potatoes at my house, and best indication I can get is when the leaves start turning yellow.
Yeah.
Accurate?
Yeah.
As the summer gardening season winds down, many area gardeners put their beds to sleep for the winter. Tearing out plant material in beds doesn't have to be the end of the gardening year, however. This week on Thinking Out Loud, besides talking with members of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture family, we're kicking off an occasional series on home gardening. About once a month, we'll talk with the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture's Carrie Hargrove about those things that you can be doing right now, either in your garden or to prepare for next season's plantings. This week, we kick off the gardening segment by talking about fruit trees in the home landscape. Liberty Hunter is the edible landscaper with the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture. Earlier in this program, Liberty told us about the kinds of trees that do well in central Missouri. Here, she discusses a few sources for fruit tree stock that's well adapted to Missouri's climate.
Where are good nurseries to get fruit trees? What do you recommend?
The nursery that we work with the most is Stark Brothers out of Louisiana, Missouri. And they have been around for a long time. They provide all different kinds of fruit trees and berries and all different kinds of varieties, everything from dwarf to standard trees, semi-dwarfs as well. They're a great company to work with.
How about native fruit trees? Do they have natives?
They do. They offer pawpaws, multiple different varieties, and as well as American persimmons, and they also offer figs too.
I myself have gotten bundles of native fruit trees from the Department of Conservation, George O. White State Nursery in Licking, Missouri. What makes fall a great time to plant fruit trees?
The tree that will be shipped in November is dormant, just like all the other trees in November. That way, the plant is not going to transpire or release moisture. It's going to hold all that in, and the roots are going to be able to develop better over winter. Much more moisture accumulation happens over winter and stays there, whereas in a spring planting, your tree is going to want to shoot out and start growing right away with leaves instead of focusing that growth on the roots. And when you transplant a tree in the spring, you're going to have to water it a lot more to get it established.
Once I have my tree planted and I've got it in a good soil medium, I've got it well mulched, it's ready for the winter, it's going to establish its roots, start growing slowly in the spring. What are some challenges that I could expect to face? Are there pests that bother fruit trees that are especially pernicious in central Missouri?
Yes, we have a lot of fruit pests in Missouri. You go to the grocery store and that apples and pears and different fruit that you see there, they're coming out of eastern Washington and California, basically desert-like conditions. So we have a challenge ahead of us as fruit growers in mid-Missouri, but growing them and managing them organically is not out of the question, and there are many tools that we have at our hands to do that. There's two things that you should keep in mind, and they go hand in hand. One is accept some kind of damage and imperfections. And number two is focus on growing healthy trees for the tree itself and not just for the fruit.
Yeah, fruit trees will provide shade. They'll provide pleasure to the inhabitants of the house or the future inhabitants of the house.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I always think when I'm growing a perennial and when I'm putting a tree in the ground is I'm doing this for me. I'm selfish. I want this fruit. And this tree is going to be here hopefully long after I'm gone and people will enjoy the fruits of my labor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are there any resources that you would direct people to? Web pages, newspaper columns, books, anything that would help understand fruit culture better?
Yes. What I use as my Bible for tree fruits and berries in general is called The Holistic Orchard, Tree, Fruits, and Berries, The Biological Way by Michael Phillips. And he is an orchardist up in New Hampshire and has written multiple books on organic tree fruit growing. You can find both of them at our local library. And he dives so much more into holistic orcharding and disease management.
This is 91.3 FM, KBIA. My name is Trevor Harris. This week, it's a focus on urban agriculture. We're talking with members of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture community about what they're doing to encourage food growing and food production in central Columbia. Maybe you're contemplating establishing a garden next spring, or you want to resuscitate a former garden or expand on an existing garden. Here's some essential advice from Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture General Manager Billy Polanski.
For somebody who wants to garden at home, it comes down to what does that person want? Do they want to grow a huge garden? Do they want to feed, what do they eat? What do they like to eat? That's usually where it starts. We like to start small. So small success is a lot better than a big failure. So if you have a little garden that does awesome the first year, then you're encouraged and want to move on and maybe expand little by little every year.
On a recent warm early autumn afternoon, I dropped by the Urban Farm. That's the outpost on Smith Street in north central Columbia, where the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture grows a lot of row crops and does education around growing food. Hanging from a clothesline was a series of recently dyed wool fabric that students in the City Garden School had recently colored and would be using at their school and in their homes. I visited with Nicole Knapp Weber. She's the director of and a teacher of the City Garden School. It's a Waldorf-inspired school that visits the Columbia Center for Urban Ag's Urban Farm about once a month.
CCUA has been kind enough to let us adopt part of their children's garden, and we come once a month to plant things, to take care of the garden, and to learn about what plants need to grow, and to watch our things that have grown. And we asked them, because we're celebrating a festival today called Michaelmas, and we asked them if we could come here for our festival, because we like the idea of not only doing work in the garden, but having fun in a garden space as well. And so we are dyeing many things, and we have been using indigo. So we're plant dyeing things with indigo, with Osage orange, with pokeberry, with marigolds, and walnuts. And we're getting many colors on. All of the children got to have a t-shirt today that they have dyed. And then many other things, wool for our classroom, yarn for our classroom, and some other things that we're going to sell at a Fall into Art, the Fall into Art craft fair at the Parkade Center in November.
Joining Nicole Knapp Weber at the Urban Farm on that Friday were a handful of parents who were there with their students in the Waldorf-inspired City Garden School here in Columbia. One of those parents was Sharon Hensley. She was supervising, among others, her fourth grade daughter, Robin. Here's Sharon Hensley discussing the benefits of getting kids introduced to agriculture at an early age.
Well, my daughter and my son, my daughter Robin and Charlie, they actually learned a lot about gardening, and it's all kind of a new thing for me. I'm still learning, so it's really fun when they come home and tell me things that they've learned from here that we can actually use at home. That's been really great. And I think they've taken some pride in this space that they've developed over here that has the City Garden sign. And some of the kids, when they came today, they were like, oh, look at what we grew. You know, it's really a satisfying thing for the kids to put a seed in the ground and see a plant come and get to pick vegetables. We did over the summer pick some things that they planted last fall.
That was Shannon Hensley. She is the parent of Robin, a fourth grader at the City Garden School. They were at the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture's Urban Farm on a recent Friday afternoon, dyeing wool from natural ingredients like Osage Orange and Indigo for use at the school and in the children's homes. This week on Thinking Out Loud, we're visiting with members of the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture family this Saturday at 3 o'clock. At the Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture's Urban Farm is the Harvest Hootenanny. I visited with Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture General Manager Billy Polanski about what folks can expect at the Saturday event.
This Saturday is our fifth annual Harvest Hootenanny. We started the Harvest Hootenanny the first year at the end of the growing season at our urban farm. The first year, we started with a farm that was just grass. There was a dilapidated house, poison ivy. We didn't start with a lot. But at the end of that year, we had made huge progress and we had a great garden. The garden's a lot better now, but compared to what it was, we had made big strides. And we wanted to have an event to show this farm off, this new urban farm off to people. And that was in 2010. And at the last minute, we put together this thing. We're usually not good at naming things. This is one of the things that we did really good at naming. So we came up with Harvest Hootenanny. We put this thing together in 2 months. The first year, 400 people showed up to our farm for our Harvest Hootenanny. And so we make a locally raised meal, local meat, local veggies, local beer, local wine, and have music, and people can see the farm and walk through the garden. It's still before the last frost, hopefully. And the farm looks great. You can come to a big farm party.
That was Columbia Center for Urban Agriculture General Manager Billy Polanski talking about the fifth annual Harvest Hootenanny fundraiser for the Columbia Center for Urban Ag. It happens this Saturday, October the 4th, from 3 to 8 p.m. at the Urban Farm located at 1209 Smith Street, just north of downtown Columbia. That's generally near the location of College Avenue and the Business Loop, head about a block south and a block west, and you'll find it. You can find more details on their website. That's ClumbiaUrbanAg.org. You can hear this program again on our website. That's KBIA.org. Just click on Programs and then choose Thinking Out Loud. You can hear new episodes each Tuesday at 6:30 right here on 91.3 FM. Thanks for tuning in. For Darren Helwidge and producer Ryan Levy, my name is Trevor Harris. Have a great evening.